Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 12, we heard that if we will endure suffering for our faith in Jesus, the rewards that we will receive in heaven shall make our suffering seem minute in comparison. Let's continue with that message today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
If you believe that the Bible says is true about a crown of glory for edifying saints, but you will not edify saints, then all you have is a statement, a doctrinal statement, a right doctrinal statement, but you don't have faith, because faith then will step out and seek to edify others. Now we see the example Jesus gave us. He endured the cross, despising the shame. My friend, it was not the cross that made Jesus joyful. He despised it, we're told. I think of the fact of men beating him, spitting in his face, and mocking him. And when they hung him on the cross, they stripped his body naked. At least that's usually what they did. Now, I know there are pictures artists have painted that has a loincloth on him, and we could hope that that's what he had, but most likely he was completely naked on that cross because they loved to do that to these people they were killing. And so he suffered that for us, for the joy that was set before him. And then on top of all they did, they scorned his name. They scorned his power. And that hanging mass of shredded flesh and blood, with the hair ripped from his face and thorns impaling his temples, he despised it all. Especially our sin that was placed on him. But the power of faith that he had in his humanity concerning the joy that was before him, being able to see that great city, being able to see that future home, he endured with no help from his deity. He cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's a legitimate question. Nothing wrong with that question at all. And he asked. And he was the only man that from a sincere heart and a pure heart could call upon God and God not hear him. The rest of us can go through some trying things. But if out of a pure heart we call upon him, he'll hear us. Now, he doesn't necessarily give us those things that we thought we wanted, things that we thought we needed, but he will do what is best for us. And so we see his promise today in Romans 8, 17 and 18 for us. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, now look, the word if is a conditional word. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, yes, my friend. He lets us know here that if we will suffer with him, if, as bad as the suffering can be, and as bad as we've read about many of the martyrs of the past, if we'll suffer with him, he will give us such a glory, that the greatness of the suffering will seem minute in comparison to the greatness of the glory. And that's his promise to us. You see, there may be rumors about you. There may be bad things said about you. As you try to do what's right and according to God's word and you carry out the call of God. But just remember, by faith, you keep doing that. If you keep doing what you're supposed to do, great is your reward in heaven, although those people say and do things against you. And that takes us on to the end of verse 2, where it says, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, in his deity, his throne was always in heaven. When he emptied himself of his glory, Jesus Christ would forever confine himself to a human body. Now, have you thought about that? Here's Jesus Christ in heaven. God is a spirit, and he lives in the form of spirit. But he takes on a human body, not only to die and raise from the dead, but he'd be forever, throughout eternity, in that human body. And of course, as long as he lives, then I live. And so do you if you're in Christ. You see, he emptied himself of glory, confined himself to a human body, but it was in that humanity that he obtained a throne. A throne that was already his in deity, but he wanted to get it in his humanity. Obtaining it made the way for him to do intercessory work for us. In his glorified humanity, he did so much for us. He intercedes for us. We are without excuse to be prayerless when we have Jesus Christ ready and willing and wanting to be an intercessor for us. We see also his eternality inherits all things. And my friend, you and I can be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And so he sat down. Sat down is the terminology, you might say. It says, is set down. Now, in Greek, that's a perfect tense, meaning after his work of providing salvation was finished, he sat down and remains seated. You see, the work for all sinners for all time is totally complete. His work on the cross and resurrection is so complete, it'll never need to be repeated. Once I'm saved, I'll never need to be saved again because he paid it all. You say, Pastor, are you one of those that believe in eternal security? Yes. But if you're saying that question in the form of, are you stupid? Do you really believe in eternal security? Then that tells me you're on the opposite side. You must believe in eternal insecurity. Think of that. He is not only seated, he occupies the position of preeminence at the right hand of the Father. Now, friends, I have spent several days, 4 or 5 days now, on these first two verses, and we'll go over the rest of the chapter a little bit more quickly. I've used just about 1/4 to 1/5 of my notes, better than 1/5, almost 1/4 of my notes on these first two verses, but it's establishing the foundation that we might build the house of God with him. Now let's look at verses 3 and 4, because there we're told to consider him, especially if you're becoming discouraged in the race of life. And so verse 3 says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Well, he doesn't want you to faint in your minds at all. He doesn't want you to quit, other words, in the mind. He doesn't want you to give up. No matter how great our trials, they can never, never, never compare to those trials Christ endured for us. Now, I'm going to repeat that because I want you to take this to heart and think about it. No matter how great our trials, they can never, never, never compare to those that Christ endured for us. There are several passages I think I could fit in here. For example, 1 Peter 4, verse 1. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." I think in Romans 5, 8, I find four of the most profound words at the end of that verse. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners," just like we are yet sinners, "Christ died for us." Isn't that profound? Christ died for us. I think also of Philippians 2, 5 through 8. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, my friend, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he suffered for you, and the fact that he has suffered long with you. If you don't, you may grow weary, embittered, and simply fall into self-pity. Now, folks, let me just give you this. You might say it's a little bit of a encouragement to do right. Do not rely on political power, strength of numbers, personal finances, abilities, or human stratagems. Don't depend upon them to do the work of God. Rather, rely on God's Spirit. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, "May the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today."
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, "May God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus."
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible